Penguin Random House Audio presents A Paris All Your Own, Best-Selling Women Writers on the City of Light. Edited by Eleanor Brown. Read for you by Kimberly Farr, Cassandra Campbell, Susan Deniker, Emily Rankin, and Alana Kerr Collins. Introduction by Eleanor Brown. Read by Kimberly Farr. What is it about Paris? No other city's name conjures the same weight and cachet. To invoke Paris means something, makes whatever it touches more beautiful, more elegant, more, well, Parisian. Paris is berets and cafes, is romance and the lights on the Eiffel Tower, is wide boulevards and window boxes bright with flowers, is Les Misérables and Picasso and Chanel. Paris is so many things, all of them wonderful. Its charm is one of the reasons Paris is one of the most visited cities in the world, which is easy to believe if you've ever tried to catch a glimpse of the Mona Lisa at the Louvre on a summer Saturday. And Paris persists in literature as much as it does on postcards. There's a lengthy history of writers' obsession with the City of Light. There are innumerable books about it, from classics like The Hunchback of Notre Dame, or A Movable Feast, or Madeline, to cookbooks, including Ina Garten's Barefoot in Paris, which you should definitely not take literally, to the books written by the contributors in this collection. I'd noticed the recent proliferation of Paris books, sure, from Pamela Druckerman's Bringing Up Bébé to Paula McLean's blockbuster The Paris Wife. I read them and loved them, without connecting them as a genre, until I started to write my own book about Paris and wondered about writers' insatiable appetite for the city. My curiosity was partially motivated by my own reaction to the place. While researching The Light of Paris, I spent about 6 weeks there. Now, I know there is a difference between visiting a place for a day or two and attempting to live there. So I will admit my moments of amazement were tempered by the exhaustion of quotidian tasks like shopping for groceries and doing laundry. But mostly, my reaction was that Paris, for all the wonders it contains, is just a city. It has its pretty parts and its grimy parts, its rude citizens and its friendly ones, its nice museums and its tourist traps. It felt, to me, more similar to any other big city than different. So if it is just another city, why are we obsessed with it? Why do we love writing and reading stories about Paris? Armed with this question, I went to 17 other women writers from the United States, England, and Ireland and asked them about their personal experiences visiting and living in Paris. I wanted to know the stories behind the stories. I wanted to know what they really, honestly thought about the City of Light. Et voilà. Their clever and funny and dreamy and sad and thoughtful answers are collected here. A few words on what this anthology does not do. I asked for very personal stories, so larger questions of race, of politics, of religion are largely absent. Also, the limitations I set on the contributors narrowed the field of potential contributors: best-selling women authors who had written books connected to Paris, quite a bit. When I looked at this Venn diagram in particular, but even considering books about Paris as a whole, I was startled to see how heavily female, heterosexual, and white both the writers and the stories are. This is particularly interesting, given the number of books, including mine, that revolve around 1920s Paris, which had a hugely diverse community of artists and expats. As there is always something more to say about Paris itself, there are always more stories to explore about the people, all the people, who have made it into a place that occupies our hearts and imaginations so fully. Despite the limitations I had designed, when I received the essays, I was surprised by how different they are. Paris is an enormous and complex place, and every one of us had a wildly different experience there. Michelle Gable and I both had, how shall we say it, difficult times in Paris. Though ultimately we both look back on our trips with fondness, and Michelle's story of her family's trip makes me smile whenever I think of it. But reading Meg Waite Clayton's or M.J. Rose's tours of the most delicious ways to spend your time in Paris would make anyone ache to go back, especially if you could have either one of them as a tour guide. If you are looking for a little romance, by the way, jump straight to their essays. Those two know all about the city of love. If you aren't so much for the romance, Maggie Shipstead offers a beautiful and funny meditation on solitude in a city that seems devoted to lovers. The isolation of traveling abroad, especially in a country where you don't speak the language fluently, is a common experience and one of the hardest parts of travel. But Maggie sees the value in that loneliness, in the way it both holds us back and cracks us open, and forces us to really experience and appreciate the place where we are. And Julie Powell talks about how food can help us overcome that displacement of travel, how finding your restaurant or cafe or bar in a strange city can make it feel like home. A word of advice: you might not want to read her essay when you are hungry, or by the end, you will be so pleasantly dizzy from her lovely food descriptions that you will be deeply tempted to bite directly into a stick of European butter. Not that I'm speaking from experience. As different as our experiences were, our paths also crossed in unexpected ways. Many of the essays mentioned the Tuileries and Luxembourg Gardens, or the Louvre. But it's the smaller coincidences that are so pleasantly surprising. I can't say it ever occurred to me, on a trip to Paris, to seek out the police department, but both mystery writer Cara Black and historical author Lauren Willig do just that, albeit with quite different results. And Cara and British author Rachel Hoare both write about the darker side of a city known for romance. Cara wondering where one might discover a body on those cobblestoned streets, and Rachel picturing a city under siege as she researched the Nazi occupation of Paris during World War II. And while, of course, many of us did visit the Louvre, Susan Vreeland, whose novels explore the stories behind some of art's greatest works, shows us a side to the museum most of us will never see, breaking down the persistent stereotype of the unfriendly, unhelpful Parisian at the same time. In fact, the Paris Tourism Board, with their recent campaign to get the French to be un petit bit friendlier to tourists, could take heart in many of the stories the contributors share here. In addition to Susan's experience, J. Courtney Sullivan's friendship with her French editor and her husband is a reminder that people are, after all, just people, and can be kind and funny and helpful in the hardest of times. And Jennifer Scott's time living with a French family in Paris will make you long to be invited to dinner at her home, where she uses everything she learned from them about elegance and grace and a gentler way of living. Many of us went to Paris to research our books, but, as always seems to happen with travel, got more than we bargained for. Paula McLean and Therese Ann Fowler both went to Paris for research. Paula was following in the footsteps of Ernest Hemingway and his first wife, Hadley. Therese.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?